This makes sense. This makes sense. It's like writing like dance number here.
1/4 cup
insert
of
dance number here. It was like, this has to break out into song. It's kind
one
of like, I think maybe the way like a musical is, the situation is, you know, if they can't express it through dialogue, they just start singing the Cole Porter song. You know what I mean? The thought was like,
I need it.
This, I feel like a dance number, and I'm probably never going to get to do a dance number in a movie,
like,
so I better fucking do it now. You know what I mean? And it can make sense.
A really exciting moment reading the script for the first time was that thing when it said, suddenly everyone in the disco breaks into a full dance number, and I was like, yeah! I can't believe it's so ballsy. Just to, you know, one thing to kind of like semi choreograph and don't put in the script, but to put in the script, they break into a choreographed dance number. So good.
Is Katie Ford.
Could only see,
and it's a sandwich on the menu
so
for
good,
today.
Looks so like, polished and like, I mean, that's a real credit to the
called crab meat nut sandwich.
Details of the period and everything.
No,
really
that's
mad.
Wrong.
You could only see that van in this parking lot of this sleazy club in Sherman Oaks. The guys with 2x4s rocking in the van. Like, that was it. That's the whole, that's the illusion.
I'm telling you, I walked in that parking lot and I was like, I gotta call my agent. Fired. But it's great. And when I was looking at Mark, I was going, oh, it's not gonna work. Because he played his, he was so good that I was like, this is a dumb fucking kid. I was like, this dude is an idiot. This is not gonna work. And then when I saw it all put together, because, you know, it's when you're in a movie like that is this big, there's so many characters and so many different stories, it's like your perspective on what the story is
called
is
crab
very
meat nut sandwich.
You don't see the entire, you know, it's like I had no idea until I saw the movie what Phil
crab
was doing.
Meat,
I was like,
nut
that's
sandwich.
What he did with that character?
Sure.
And then when I saw you guys in the recording studio, you and Mark, I was like, oh my God. I wasn't there that day. So much stuff that I missed. So I was like, oh man, I didn't see that, but it was great to see it all put together.
And here we go. Again.
Award ceremony for Mark. And I was presented.
Here's the recipe for 6 servings.
And first I couldn't get the words out right. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh.
Well, there's only 3 of us here.
You cannot panic. Are you panicking?
6 servings.
Like, I'm not panicking. I'm delirious.
Double.
Why? What were you doing? I don't know.
The timing was off. Like, the way I was saying it, the timing.
You'll need 6 frankfurter rolls.
But
so wait a minute.
1 6-ounce package of frozen king crab meat.
No, because that was delicious.
1/4 cup of mayonnaise.
And then, you know, I was just talking because I was
1 3-ounce can of deviled ham.
We're gonna get to the retarded moments that you have in a minute.
Okay, so far we have the bread.
1/4 cup of coarsely chopped nuts.
I don't think I have enough.
And I got the lines out about
wait,
how
slow
I
down.
1/2 cup of chopped tomato.
And every which way he gave it to me.
Tomato.
And then suddenly
tomato,
all the extras got
bread.
Up
okay.
And he started to leave.
That's right.
And mix the tomato.
And 2 teaspoons of Lee and Perrin's Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, yeah, I got the Worcestershire sauce.
You guys keep trying. Let's keep rocking and rolling,
yeah. Perrin's Worcestershire sauce.
There's one scene where you completely recreating. You know,
Worcestershire sauce.
You know, shot of tequila straight up. You come over the bar, and it's complete. It's,
I
and
remember that. Why
we watched it before
it.
We shot it. What's that kind of like as an actress? I mean, we're really not asking you to bring anything to do with it.
Worcestershire.
Right.
Worcester.
What's that like?
It's really fun.
Who here doesn't
right.
know how to say Worcester?
Worcester. It's not for, in that
yeah,
sense, it's really fun. I mean, if you'd asked me to
Worcestershire
sauce.
Right. Or if you'd asked me to, like, redo somebody like, brilliant and exciting.
Worcestershire.
In this case, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Because they've already made the choices, so you're just kind of like
right.
walking through it, and it's not your fault. Just,
right.
You know, nothing.
Right. Yes, yes, nothing.
Right. And if she looked into the camera and I looked in the camera, I'd be like, and she's supposed to be. something in my mouth.
So I do remember very clearly when we're shooting the scene. You know,
and two teaspoons of Lee and Perrin's Worcestershire sauce.
That right off camera was the breast pump, and you would sort of like, would it, like, have it on or something. Do with it, I don't know.
I had it.
And then you take it off, right?
Right, I had it in the trailer. Uh-huh. And I had a deal.
Got your big question answered. Are there Beatle fans outside? You better believe it.
I had it in the trailer.
All right, Daddy, we'll listen to you. Hang on, and you give me a buzz, and we'll get right back to you.
You give me 5-minute warning, and I asked for, like, 15-minute warning. Because that way I could do 5 minutes.
I'm giant.
And then they Mark sewed in all these special things on the dresses for breast pads.
Did you? How much did seeing that stuff
help? About that?
The documentaries and that kind of stuff.
Apologies.
No, it helped totally because the modern.
We have problems downtown. That's a question. Over.
So completely
different approach to filmmaking.
This is radio control.
I'm not big into porno, so.
No, but I but obviously you've seen some modern day porn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have. In hotel rooms.
On location.
On location.
Well, I mean, that's actually sort of a natural thing. I think everyone on location wants to. There you go.
Here's my big question. Is that this is one of my favorite moments in the movie coming up.
Killer, you probably are gonna leave soon.
Okay,
and I'll come, I'll fly back. No, and then fly
20
back.
20 more minutes, and then I wanna fuck, cause I wanna get done and get out of here.
Alright, 15 more.
Are you dressed and ready to go?
No, I gotta take a shower and everything. 15 more.
Let's look at this moment here. This is one of my favorite moments where.
Still won't burp punch you in the stomach?
You gotta.
Huh? Oh no, that was what he gave you headlines. Smashed your glasses.
Let it slap. Now, see here, here it is. Let's talk about the Corvette for 1 second. Because there's a scene that I cut out of the movie. There's a scene that.
There was no vet, man. There was no movie.
Oh my God. Can we talk about the Corvette for 1 second? There's a scene that was cut out of the movie where you, towards, you know, in the latter half of the movie, get your. Riley comes in, bursts in the door and says,
my best friend
gives you all this information about something that's happened. The phone rings, and it's Becky. And she's in Bakersfield, right, with Jerome.
I forget why.
And they've got this sort of domestic violence situation happening. Yeah, he's beating the shit out of her and everything else, and she says, you got to come get me. And you get in the car, the Corvette, like Brock Manders is back in action, you know? You're fucking coked out of your mind. But then you get in the car, and then you're driving down the street, and you're doing coke, and you're lighting a cigarette, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and everything else, and then you kind of smash into a telephone pole. Do you remember that day? Describe that day. Because I've seen that in the movie, so I guess we'll have to do our best to describe that.
It was fucking hot and sticky, too.
It was like car crash about it, all over
the table. Not in the movie?
No. And then press.
Have you seen the movie recently?
No.
Boyfriend. And he's all. He shows up and he knocks his screen door through the Massachusetts last night.
We had a little accident.
You know, right.
I almost got killed, man.
Walking my foot.
Yeah, the brake.
You found your car.
And I remember.
Smashed into
they were all
the
like.
That's what I was trying to get you to say. What happened exactly? Because you actually really did crash the Corvette. What happened like, when you're
shit? Like how? Like what have I got myself into? Well, I knew the boyfriend likes this person.
No, you made me fucking smash the fucking car into the pole, man.
And we literally
my fucking life,
were like,
I didn't even know that the bumpers were taken out.
Paraphernalia
could have fucking died.
And I was like.
No, I told you I'd smash it to the fucking pole. The guy, the stunt guy, looked like a fucking pussy. And you know what? I was right. Fucking didn't do it right.
All the table and.
So we smashed and we told everybody it was an accident.
I'm pretty sure.
I didn't tell you to do that. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
And.
But all I know is that your foot slipped. Hey, I'm just telling you the way it is. You're going to edit it the way you want to anyway.
Your foot slipped, you know? And that's all I know.
And I'm like,
no, it did slip. I would.
What do you mean you found my car? Because I was kind of pissed.
A vet like that?
So what happened was my car got stolen out nothing. I didn't have shit. Like, still song for me, and I'm like, really? Like, anything. Like, if you want to steal something that's really funny.
So New Year's Eve, I don't know if you remember this. And so when I told you that this was an idea that it was in my head, and then I think once I'd fallen in love with just having you around, I really took it to an extreme. You'll notice that Heather is in every single shot at New Year's Eve.
And
it's fine.
Here she is. Great. She's going through. She's Tinkerbell, and she's at every. She's always present.
Like, swings back to.
And here we go. We're about to see her. Actually, she just passed. And now she's about to pass again. As you were before.
There you are.
Thank you, Barnett. If your car gets totaled by the state or something, I don't know which, whoever, they're like, okay, your car's totaled, and you can't drive it anymore because it's beyond drivable.
Oh, wow,
but if
great.
You fix it, if you buy it back from your insurance company,
and
pay for the repairs yourself. Which is what I did at the time, and it was all, I was trying to remember the, Tracy was on the phone earlier, I was trying to remember the guy's name, because I am 100% positive that she brought her car to the same guy in Amherst, Mass, and I was trying to remember his name,
I guess I don't think about what they're doing, because then I'll screw up, and I'll feel like I'm doing nothing good enough. So it was completely on how you wrote it, where it's just
the insurance,
you know, some
company
are,
gave me back, like,
yeah. Some people, no matter
extra,
where they're born or what they're doing,
like,
very rarely,
seem
to have this, like, really positive
whatever to spend.
Uh-huh. That is not me, but I thought was really.
I'm sure his name's not Kevin.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that when, you know, like, if someone came, I think she stays as much in this family and this environment as possible. Just like if you were in New York and you were a stockbroker, you know, you're gonna stay in that environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you came out to Hollywood, you'd hang out with the guys. At Merrill Lynch in Century City, which places they go to. But if you strayed from your path, it would be like, you know, you'd have that. What? You think you're more important because.
It never was.
Because you're a hairdresser, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think she stays as much in her world as possible. And maybe that's why she keeps that outlook. Mm-hmm. And then again, you know, it's just like another language. Mm-hmm. Even though it's our language, it's just another. How can you think that way?
Yeah.
How can you think he's doing something wrong?
And so I put my 600 or whatever.
Don Cheadle's who's like, all right. Plays this guy is like, all he wants is this, you know, music store to do his thing. And he's got his own music.
And then all the people around me were like,
how can you say that that's wrong?
You can't afford first.
Well, no, I knew it. It's a competition. Orange.
Oh, my lord.
You asked Ray for me for money all the time.
Amazing.
You have nothing.
Don, do you remember the scene? The scene that I've written.
Yes.
That I, you know, part of me regrets. Doesn't never regrets not having it in the movie, because I know it never really fit. But I have to say that I was so proud of that scene, and it was a good scene.
It was a great scene.
It was really weird.
I thought it said a great thing. The scene where Buck. The scene where Melora and I were trying to figure out.
And I was like,
it's like we're trying to figure out how do we make love. It's like they know how
to
fuck.
I put that $600.
They know how to have sex on film. But it's like,
because I was afraid.
What are we supposed to say to each other? What are we supposed to. It was just a great.
Me for it back.
And very innocent.
Did you guys shoot that scene?
No, we never shot.
No, that's what I thought. It was in the script way before. And I remember when one of the first times I read the scene, like, that was a really poignant.
Yeah.
That really was. I mean, you accomplished it in other ways in the movie. You know, people's own humiliation from their bodies. Yeah. That was really poignant in the script. When you read it, that. Wow.
Well,
I guess you have to kind of teach yourselves how to be intimate with each other.
Exactly.
I liked Red Hot shooting. It's just happy. Actually, in all seriousness and all honesty, we talked about this next scene, and
what you were thinking, what the hell was going on.
To
wax my own car, I fucking love this scene. It's probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie between you and Julianne when she first gives you coke. You know, I just think it was so great in it. Do you remember shooting? Because I don't really remember shooting this. I know that we did two takes. That's what I remember. But I don't remember that much of shooting.
No, we did a lot more than two takes.
No, we did two.
Oh, fucking yeah, I mean, person, all that stuff, fucking shit.
Rewrote it as close as it is now, really right in the middle of the two scenes that I wrote, really right in the middle of my hell on my first movie with Reicher, and going through all I was going through was this scene and the donut shop. The donut shop, which I'll give it up, it feels like another movie and definitely is not really in keeping with the rest of the movie, but it's so a result of what I was going through. It's like, nice guy, fuck you, blood in your face. That's what it was like, a direct, like, that's the scene. That's how I feel right now. The guy that went into the bank and tried to go, no, I'm an okay guy, right, and tried to go into this company and say, no, please don't do this to me. And it was like, fuck you, nice guy, bang. Right. And that's what, so that, and this one too, where Philip is, Philip for some reason got to represent, you know, Philip, the guy who I was protecting in the movie as I was dealing with Reicher and everything, came to represent like the talk that Reicher would talk, that kind of like, you know, his bullshit, like warming up to you, like your enemy, you know, like,
you're okay, so,
right,
you better just realize that, way of thinking,
exactly.
There's one little thing that I want to do in this line, and that is, I want to make a dollar and a cent in this business. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help this little boy.
I totally used the bike.
Territory we used.
When it starts to become sunset,
wishing you the nuttiest of crab meat nut sandwiches.
I feel, and it's gonna start to get dark, and everything changes. That I start to feel safe. However, when you have like that 4 inch tall,
that's where that came in.
Let's do it again. Sorry, I
ruined it. That's what matters.
How do you feel right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Jesse.
I'm happy to be
part of this. Hey, right? Oh, man. Right? Did you see my new car? Yeah, want to see?
Yeah.
All right, cool. It's out front.
I guess we're on the topic of gay porn, looking at Scotty here. And I guess I didn't want to put it in Boogie Nights because I had this scene where Dirk goes to masturbate for the surfers, you know. And somehow that scene seemed redundant to go into the gay porn world, and I kind of got to go into this.
Just kidding.
Looking at the same kind of world and the same kind of repercussions that accompany that world a lot of times, which is sometimes a weird, violent story to hear about in gay porn. It's not not a world that I know a lot about, to tell you the truth. I know a lot more about heterosexual porn than I do about gay porn. Except I know a couple of actors in gay porn. We're actually pretty good.
Going inside? Yesterday. Well, actually,
I had it painted yesterday, so I'm like... Great,
yeah, really great.
Do
you
want to
go for a ride?
Talk
about the
scene, so...
And how
he kisses you right there.
A couple of times, I don't want to kiss somebody's back. Yeah, but I'll stick my tongue right back. You know what, it might sound like you're joking, but don't fuck with that, because the serious thing is that I remember you coming to me and saying... Paul, what do I do? Because there is a part of me that doesn't want to fucking kiss him back. You know what I mean? And I don't really remember saying anything incredibly intelligent to how to convince you that isn't what you wouldn't do, right. You know, or would do. But
right. No, I remember saying that when I was talking about even here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I would just give him his kiss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is out of memory. Dirk, you gotta give. You know, spent my whole life, you know, like
11 years old,
helping everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, that's what we had talked about to play through the whole New Year's party, where you're sitting with Jesse and Amber comes
that's
over.
That's what I'm
going to solve everybody's problems.
Of course.
But you got to understand, remember, just did the fucking line of coke. A, there's the fucking still the notion in you that is, I'm going to buy these fucking shoes. Do you know what I mean? And so that to me is kind of what is at play here, too, is just a little bit of, like, you know. I can only save so many people, Scotty. Yeah. You know?
I just think I'm cool.
And Scotty's in the car.
That mic reaper flexing on
that. Yeah, we know we don't need to talk about that.
Let's just talk about 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Stupid. God, Newland begged me to trim the shot. They're like, we like that he says fucking idiot, but we don't like that he says it 9 times. And it's the kind of thing that you don't even really talk to someone about. You just nod your head and go, okay. Yeah, you know.
So you just say okay, and then you never take it out?
And then you just never change it.
So here you are. And... it just hit your head, and I'm sorry, but you know why I love you? I'm just going to wax your car for a second, is that if you'd asked any other actor to do a gag like that, basically, you know what, would you mind hitting your head? Right. They wouldn't have been able to pull it off, but somehow... there you go. Thank you for doing it so well.
Thank you for noticing that I did it 20 times.
I just love watching everyone else interact with you here, you know, it's kind of...
It's just great, it's such a well-done crowd scene.
Here's the musical quote. There is a girl at this club at the high school in San Diego.
No, you know what? God, that's great thing to talk about, though. That scene's been cut out of the movie. Do you remember when you farted on camera? There's a scene in the first pool party when he just walks by Jack Wallace. And Jack Wallace says, hey, how you doing? What do you got going on? He says, nothing. I'm just looking for my wife. And Macy walked up, and Macy being the professional. You know, the guy does not walk up. No, he didn't. He bust out. He just walked up, and he said, hey, how you doing? He said, I'm sorry. Can we start again? I said, what the fuck? How? He said, I farted.
I said, I didn't hear it.
And the sound man goes, I did. Yeah. And two extras go, I did.
Oh, my God.
The stool was in my way, so I had to reach over. You know, you step over it, you know. It's that split. So it was a sharp report.
Your face is so funny. It's just jiggling. It's like, it just looks.
Thank you.
It's funny because that's not how you look now. It's just like something here.
Macy, I have a question for you that we never really talked about. This is great acting, director, avoidance of the issue.
Okay.
When is the moment that you decide that you're going to kill her?
Oh, geez, I don't know. After I close the door, somewhere going down the hall. No, from the, I think looking. I look at her, make the decision. It's the whole shot is going to get the gun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I think, you know what, there's a portion of me that kind of never wanted to try and figure it out, that couldn't decide, and never really... It was either...
when you close that door, there's something on your face that is wonderful that could be clear, like he's gone somewhere else. But then there's that wonderful moment when Roller Girl flashes your face, and I keep thinking, well, if he was 80%, then he might kill her.
It was kind of, yeah.
You killed Little Bill's wife. There's that wonderful sort of... So this is also, Bill, the take where we don't go inside the room, because previously what we had shot was... takes that did go inside the closet, right?
Oh man, I was so happy when you realized.
Okay, Ricky.
Nice reaction.
Ricky.
Yeah. Okay. What was that?
And then this, one take. Here we go. That was one take we did, but I'm sorry, can we just tell the story? Let's follow through. Go back to the story of going back inside that, and when we went inside the room, remember we did two versions.
She was, both Nina and the guy were squibbed, and blew him away, blood splattering all over
the
curtains.
They were totally naked.
Totally naked, doing
When we did the first test screening in Westwood of this movie,
and that was in,
anywhere in the world. You walk in, and you see her, and then you walk out to the car, and you get the gun. And there's a portion of the audience that realizes you're getting the gun.
I love my
And they start going,
woo! All right.
And they started flying. And I started to sink into my seat and go, okay, I fucked something else. Then you walk in and shoot
my country.
And they fucking cheer and laugh, and everything's great. And I sink all the way down in my seat,
American flag.
I have done wrong. I have fucked up majorly. But
we will be protected by God.
And you got that look on your face, and you smile, and the gun comes up, and everybody shut the fuck up real quick. And you shoot yourself and go down, and it's silence. And I said, okay, good. Now, I have fucked up. That
we
someone
must think
cheer.
Big
maybe
and
that's
dream
not me. I talk myself
even
feeling
bigger.
Bad and just saying, well, these people are criminal. It's not me. Anyone cheering that? I didn't fuck up. I know I didn't fuck up. I know I didn't indicate it or lead it to this moment that someone would cheer. But then I just felt so happy to kind of turn around and punish them by having you blow your brains out and go, see, yeah, well, it's
I
all
love everything
games until someone really gets hurt, you know?
I know. You jumped them. They were relying on their Hollywood presuppositions that it was going to be a funny resolve to this little
one. Just about.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. I rarely, if ever, hold a job. I never finish my work.
One-on-one, or
there's just one
just
more pornographers who kill their wives on the next Oprah.
I'm an affable kind of a
one more thing, too, to talk about. The last thing to talk about is... is the moment where
which is
you
sort of interesting.
That shot where you walk
Chinese
out and shoot yourself in the mouth.
Millions of dollars. Millions
do you remember the night that we did that?
Dollars taken out very rapidly.
We got one shot. It happened one time. One time the Gorgon once accidentally
and
went.
The sad
off.
Thing about this one too,
45 minutes to clean the
so
walls.
Well, that's the thing. I remember saying, okay, so we're already,
so
and you're down the hall.
Yeah.
Everybody ready? Okay. Here we go. Bill. So what the fuck was
the
that? I looked down.
By the way,
the back of my head blew off. And the back of the head is blown off.
Especially when the
senators
and all of these other people have actually done what they're accusing me of doing, which I didn't do.
And then there
I try to win, but I love to lose.
Goodbye,
because
thank you so much. Congratulations. It's a beautiful movie.
Thank you for doing this.
Not until it
happens. When you were shitting your drawers, asshole. Get the fuck out of here.
It's
all
and
I mean, God,
especially when the senators and all of
Napoleon,
the chiefs are going to release your call to. But you people should be ashamed of yourselves. We have the rest of
the documentation. That's really patterned after Exhausted.
Gavin
John
Newsom,
Holmes.
It's another beauty.
Do you remember when you saw
it's
that one?
Such
when
a
that
beauty.
When we started out.
And, but you people should be ashamed of yourself. We have the most dishonest media that you can imagine.
This actually seems taken.
And they're more worried about that because they know they're guilty as hell.
Some of the other scenes around.
First of all, Minority refers to your democracy.
Is just in love with John Holmes. It's not really
I just want you to tell that I'm impressed.
It's just about how great
American
John Holmes
people
is.
Have
sort of like 2 hours
gained
of
during these talking
and clips and stuff. And do you remember your impression on first seeing Exhausted?
See, he's made a few words and he gets it done.
John Holmes before.
Right.
You know? I won't say it because they'll say it was so terrible.
I knew the name, but I didn't know who it was.
I'm a backward kind of basic need. I get my kicks when I don't succeed.
Said this is fucking hilarious. I mean, I thought that,
because I've got the wits to spare.
So what a prince
I seem to make an effort.
Is that show jacket?
That's it. I'm out of here.
It's really good.
I mean,
My name is Luis T.P. Rodriguez.
That's what I do on the show.
Intelligent or not.
There's a lot of dialogue.
Doesn't he go to
a lot of people don't understand.
And on what show you do it?
Because I know that you're Puerto Rican. You have a...
On the most evidence show.
I'm wondering... You know, do you think it's the accent, or do you think that maybe it's you're slurring your words a little bit, and maybe people can't exactly understand what you're saying?
I think if people listen, they definitely would understand what I was saying. I don't slur, and
maybe I mix the music too loud.
I think with the sound people, though, I think they have a certain prejudice about me. You know, because I notice everybody will get like the really nice, you know, remote mics and shit, and they always give me that fuzzy thing.
Are you an actor? Like, are you a method actor? Do you need to sort of really do what the character might be doing? You know, to get your head in this space of, like, Maurice would be, you know, if Maurice were to, you know, get hit by a car or something, would you have to, like, feel that pain, like, smash your head up against something? Are you that kind of actor? Do you like to do that sort of stuff?
I normally like to go to, like, an acupuncturist before I do that type of stuff, because they hit certain spots in me that just kind of, you know, help me draw that stuff out more.
So you don't need, like, help, like...
That have stolen too many lives and robbed our country.
I just come up to you, you know, like I used to do all the time on the set, and I look at you and I say, I love your work, and you said you love mine, and we just went on from there. But method, bro, that's not for everybody, you know? I mean, I'm like a switch. Just turn me on, baby. And what's the word? Action.
I don't mean to press this, but there have been allegations from a lot of the other actors in the film. I don't know how to put this delicately, that you were stoned.
Yeah, I was stoned.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, you know, those people, like, they have never been cool enough or righteous enough to, like, tell me that to my face. You know, they're, like, going behind my back saying all this stuff. And that's all right, bro, because I'm going to catch up to that. You know, I'm always running across people. I'm going to run across them. He said. I don't recall that.
Engineer Dr. John Trump at MIT.
He said he
was trying to.
He said that. Okay, he said he thought.
People anywhere in the
okay, he thought. Okay, so he wasn't sure. Okay, so I could let him slide on that. But I'm saying, there's anybody saying, yo, I saw
I love my country.
Cop right there. He asked you to go and buy him some rolling paper, or he asked me for his pipe. I won't say who got a pipe, who I got a pipe from.
I love my country.
I'll keep that under the lid.
So you did. So you had a pipe?
No. I mean, there were many times that I was offered all these devices and stuff. But you know,
we will be protected by God.
But I mean, stone. No, I was acting like I was stone.
You realize that you finally, we must think big and dream even bigger.
Latin lover.
To hit the Latin lover.
really, I'm out when they come.
I really want to get
apparently normal, quick to smile and slow to pee.
You know, I mean, you've touched with just about everybody.
I love everything it stands for.
Somebody in the group that you'd really love to be.
But I have a little
212 with Pakistan.
I really
Poland,
could say
one-on-one, or
I just found
just
everyone equally, you know.
I rarely have ever hold a job. I never finish my work.
One-on-one, or just about at that
I think
level.
Julianne.
Yeah.
I'm an affable kind.
I think Julianne, you know.
Yeah.
Because she's
thank
like
you
Mother Goose and stuff, yeah, you know. And
it's been, which is sort of
I would have
interesting.
Liked to have hung out with her more.
Boy, you know? Yeah.
You know?
Millions of dollars. Millions and millions of dollars taken out rapidly.
What that was like?
Oh, yeah. It's Bert with Bert.
And the same thing about this hoax.
You know, he was just doing his thing, and I got a kick out of it because he ever I'm working with an icon that I grew up with, you know?
Right.
He seemed like you were.
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me who didn't like me a lot? But anyway, you know, but I get along with everybody, bro. Don't I get along with
especially when the,
you know,
senators and all of these other people have actually done what they're accusing me of doing, which I didn't do.
It's a lot of work.
I try to win, but I love to lose because I love to win to
I should have smacked him in the scene.
No, you shouldn't have been Johnny
Depp. When you were shitting your drawers, asshole. Get the fuck out of here.
Lactose.
That's
good. Right here, in
especially
this moment,
when
in
the
this scene, because this is where
senators and all
actually the first day where I did have some sympathy for you when you looked over, you said, "I think I'm going to die."
You people should be ashamed.
Because usually I just said, "Shut up."
We have the rest
of us. That's a hell of a lot. But you did have to do probably like a pound
Gavin
of that
Newsom,
fucking cocaine for that scene because I just said,
it's such a
shit to Thomas Jenkins. And I said, make sure you talk about fish scales.
You people should be ashamed of yourself. We have the most dishonest media.
All you got to do is talk about fish scales.
Yeah, right.
Go.
And they're more worried about that because they know they're guilty as hell.
Yeah.
I'll move on now. First of all, may I refer to your democracy?
Yeah, the Cagney shot is on. It's off camera, you can hear it.
I just wanted to tell that
there was
I'm
a shot
impressed.
Previous, where you
what,
see what they're
American
watching.
People
and
have
it's a movie called Footlight Parade.
Gained
with
during these
James Cagney's Buffy Berkeley movie, which is really kind of wonderful.
Yes.
And I
see,
it's
he's reading
cool
a few words and he gets a dialogue.
Off camera, kind of.
Fuck, somebody had asked me
because they'll say it was so terrible.
About
to
that
say.
Moment, I said something about
I'm
because Cagney was
kind of
there.
Basic
yeah.
Need. I get my kicks when I don't.
Right, right.
He's not even in the fucking
well, he's there for us. We know that. That movie is off camera, but like, really, which I highly recommend.
To make an effort.
And this was a lot longer, Once Upon a Time, until the MPAA got to us, but I think it kind of works well in these series of dissolves and stuff.
Yeah.
But we shot this. Do you remember shooting this? Oh. And what happened at the end of it? It's so helpful. There's actually a moment where Phil Hoffman, as Scotty, opens the door and catches him.
Fuck.
And he says, get the fuck out. Kind of cool scene.
But why did we shoot this particular scene on this day? Even though I'm scheduled, like, 24 Let's get down to the beat.
No, that's what I do on the show.
How do we get into that?
Whether it does any good or not.
How do we get into that?
And on what show you do it?
Something about birds.
On the Puzzling Evidence Show.
I'm kidding. You never
it's the show. It's the show. Oh, no, you went to
Rare Z. You're not even an actor, man. You got no business being here. You're not a fucking actor.
Evidence.
It's funny that we're recording this commentary track for you last because obviously, yeah, there's a lot of actors that I knew and I was writing parts for, but honestly, the first one of the first people that came into my mind when I was writing was you. You know, I think that's what shows you're the beginning of the movie, you know, in meeting Maurice.
Those hearing
in the club.
Brought to you by
how you got the script.
The Puzzling Evidence Official.
And I remember it very clearly. Do you remember it?
I remember I got a phone call from you. You say, hey, my name is Paul Thomas Anderson, and I wrote this script.
Tomorrow.
I wrote this part for you. I would love for you to do it. Read it, and can I send it to you? And I said, sure. So you sent it to me, and I got it, and it kind of was laying around the house.
Let these four stimulating words impress you. Because they represent the exciting challenge of life to all productive, vibrant, and successful individuals. What's new?
No, they didn't prep me, bro.
A positive question which inspires active hope.
Right. You know, so one night I just picked it up.
A powerful question which will put into motion the most dynamic, motivating forces of your being. Positive thought and decisive action. You know that you cannot go back into your past and revise anything.
We got into a
but you can start immediately to rearrange your thoughts and ideas for a rich and progressive future. You can close the door on your past, and once you determine to shut out all destructive negative thoughts, you will experience the most exhilarating sense of freedom you have ever known. Through the power of positive suggestion, you know and you realize that now is the right time, the important time for you to take decisive action.
He said, no, 24.
Now is the time to reverse your direction. The time to turn about and walk toward the sun so the shadows of your regrets will fall behind you.
No, bro, it's all right, man. It's like 24 years.
You realize that you have already paid the penalty for your mistakes.
I was pretty blown away.
And you have decided to start living today for a new future.
This part is yours. I wrote this for you.
And through the power of positive suggestion,
you're flattered and you're
you will find new hope
you've been around,
and new confidence in a brilliant and exciting future. Hope for the accomplishment of all your fondest desires. Hope that will stimulate your efforts to make your desires become realities. These moments and those which follow are the real and tangible heartthrobs of time. So seize this living moment and decide to bury the errors and disappointments of your past. Embrace yourself in the living present.
Yes,
tomorrow is a goal worthy of today's efforts, for it alone holds for you a promise of change and progress. You will find yourself growing stronger and stronger as you proudly regain the freedom of thought to declare yourself a free soul and release yourself from the negatives of all self-imposed punishment.
Okay.
Once you have closed the door on all unwanted negatives of your past, you will no longer languish in the hopelessness of empty tomorrows. No longer will the errors of your past confine you to the unhappy negatives of indecision, doubt, and anxiety. You will be born again, and you will be ready, anxious and willing to call up the normal, positive forces of your being to lead you confidently toward a new and worthwhile purpose.
At this scene?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Your purpose, your most important obligation to life, is a trust that you know you must and you will fulfill. When you want something strongly enough to dedicate your entire rational being to its fulfillment, powerful forces beyond your comprehension will work with you. Anything within your reach can be obtained when you consistently apply the power of positive thought.
No, actually, I think we...
To fortify and condition your thought process,
I think we missed the word.
Make it your daily habit to repeat the following positive affirmations over and over again,
silently, to yourself. Literally, the only direction
today,
I ever gave
I am
you on this
convalescing
movie
from yesterday's
literally,
pain.
Because everything else was just
tomorrow,
like, okay, go, Julie.
I will be healthy and productive.
Was to say...
I have grown strong even why.
Too many things, too many things to say it,
say it
to
over
say it over and over again. I just feel so proud. That's the only direction I ever gave you.
I remember Marie said that. Yeah, yeah.
On the unwanted negatives, you know, of my past.
I mean, sort of
my mind uncluttered,
you know,
will have room for more and more of life's desire.
Character actor, obviously,
good
when
cheer,
you're cutting movies, generally
good
that's
health,
the kind of stuff that gets cut down.
Compassion,
boogie nights, you know,
gentlemen,
three or four of your scenes got cut, you know. I mean, I always, I made sure to call you and tell you beforehand, but that kind of must be frustrating.
Give me some, like, oh,
while, right?
They will
how does it sort of strike you every time that happens?
You know, yeah, I mean, I guess initially it's like, oh, okay.
More important.
You know, but,
I have to late. Does anybody
you know,
else need a label?
It's part of the art, bro. You know, sometimes you do something, you just can't put every single detail that you want. Mm-hmm. And, at least, you know, they have DVDs now, so that kind of saved me. You know, I mean, they didn't have that before. Uh-huh. So, you know, it's like nobody would ever say, man, that scene, that, oh, man, that was a bomb, you know?
Right. Any other memories, any other...
Oh, man, working with Heather.
Yeah.
What a charm she was.
Well, there's a great scene between the two of you, you know, that I put on the deleted scenes, where you're very nervous about performing in the movie. Do you remember shooting that scene?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought now, you know, I should... Ow. I think I should have told you back then, but I think we needed to cut that scene down a little bit. Then it would have made it into the movie. You know, how long does it take a guy to say, I can't get
would
my shit
like
up?
I to say again.
You know what I'm saying? Should not take no more than like 15 seconds. And the girl, all she had to say, oh, Foxy, that's
the mic fight.
Bad, you know?
Right.
But, no, I mean, I was thrilled, man, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I miss my two sons, my little Andrew and my Dirk. I'm sorry, but you just rock. Let's just talk about how good you are. And it's like this over the sea, we'll talk about like how good the writing is, how good you are, how good Heather is. Because you know what? I don't care. There's Achilles heels in this movie.
Do you need another label?
Like, yeah, I kind of fucked
wait,
up.
I have to test
but on this scene, I fucking kicked ass. And so did you.
I'm going to call my voice
wrong. That's the way I
I'll
feel. Like.
You. So sad. I mean, it's really sad.
Yeah.
Look at Heather's face. Oh, God. It breaks my heart. I can't take this.
You have 4 saved messages.
This is actually kind of a funny story.
Can you hear my messages?
This isn't in my contract. You know what? All right, you let me out of here. I'll fly back and finish. No, we're going to finish. Because the movie's got another
you know
20 minutes left.
I'll even finish right
finance
now.
No, I don't want you to.
Let's fuck.
Paul, I got to
do it. The kids have been bad.
All right,
56.
Let me ask you 5 more questions. And then talk about Downey. We'll talk about the fucking king. So here we are in the scene. There's a lot of...
He's the king.
Remember how we all looked at each other when we first came up to MPYP?
Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. Yeah, you didn't like it at first.
Right, right.
You're like...
He kind of walked off.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we'll get him out of that. And, you know, he was like, and when he said something, man, he said, oh.
No, maybe you asked him what it meant.
Yeah.
Or something. You know, or something. You said something, and he was like, you know, just made it clear that he was going to be in there. Right.
But then when he started doing it, I thought, man, that's okay.
But
the crew fucking fell down, and you fell down, yeah. And Riley fell down. I said, well, I'm wrong on this one.
Right.
This is just good.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Is this Hal?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Hi, Hal. This is Sarah Goldie. You're on the air.
Good, though. You look the part, baby.
There's a certain blurry quality to the sound on this.
I'll fuck you over.
I'm hearing echoes also.
You sometimes
so could you
by holding on you too long or like wanting
it's
to indulge
Sarah
and like,
Goldie,
God, she's so
and
good.
And
oh, hi. Oh, great. Nice to
stuff
talk to you.
That went on.
Why is it echoing
you
such
so, and so it didn't play. It's not always play.
Well,
that's the
main. Maybe Rob could turn
that's
down
under
the
yeah. You know, I mean, that's
I have to turn down the.
To decide.
I'm on a subgenius diaspora conference.
You don't like rehearsing a lot.
I
have
to turn down.
I know. And
I like rehearsing. I like improvising.
No, because the thing is that it's not like I'm so big on rehearsal.
No,
you know? I don't remember
should we call
going
you
to. And it really is. It's, to me, it's
what?
Like whatever you want.
Whatever
that's
you
like.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I need like one or two small things. Like.
You know,
give me a clue or two of what you're
going to do.
Okay, cool. That's all
online,
I need. You know,
yeah.
But
oh, is that
you're doing right now?
For film. No, I mean, you know, if I'm working on a play or something, that's a different thing. I'll rehearse something to death. But if in film, you don't have a lot of time to, you know.
But you know, I do.
You just can beat, you know, I think it's like, you can be like beating something to death. You rehearse it too much. You just beat the emotion out of it. Or you beat, you know, sometimes, for me anyway, I tend to do better. You know, within the earlier takes sometimes, and when things are fresher and stuff. And I don't know why necessarily. Yeah. It's just, it has to do with whatever, you know, with my rhythm or whatever. You know? But if the, you know, if everything else, if the language, if the script is really good and the language is really strong, then I'll be able to do it quickly. If it's, if that's not there, then I may never be able to do it. But if I prefer to do it kind of right away, then rehearse.
Doug is saying there's no.
Well, I mean, I can't. Well, then I can back you up because of you for the most part. And it's not like the taste got worse, but I realize that you clued me into that, which is great as an actor. If you have an actor, you know
their
own their stuff, and they can clue you into that. It's like, good. Thank you for letting me know that.
Some actors need five takes to warm up, and then they're really good on six and seven. You know, I'm best on one and two, and as we get towards, you know, six and seven, I'm really not as good anymore. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is, and every actor is different. And some directors will, like, you know, we'll do 17 takes. Seen it by take 17, you know. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. But other actors, you know, really benefit from that. So it's just, it's personal.
What does it, what does it do to you when, like, a director
to take a bend?
Because you've worked with the Coen brothers, who are apparently, like, really specific. Is it easier? Does it fuck you up? Is it helpful when a director can be, like, really clear?
And the Coens don't tell you what to do ever. Right. Once again, they're specific in their language. It's their script. So, you know, Ethan will come up to you and say, you know, when you say this line, lose the really, we're going to cut that. And that will mean something. You've lost, you know, you've lost that thing.
Yeah.
And so if you understand that, you're able to do it. But they'll never say to you, you know, I don't know. They don't tell you how to act, but but I think it's present in their words.
Touch the cigarette with your forefinger and your pinky.
Never have to do that kind of stuff. Right. You know, they're specific in their language. And that's where I think that you're specific, too. I mean, I think your rhythms are really very clear, and your punctuation is clear. And when I paid attention to that, then that would give me, you know, that gave me everything I needed to know.
Good.
So, yeah.
Bring it over and scratching at the moon.
Here we are in the courtroom, and talk a minute about Veronica Hart, who plays the judge.
Veronica said the thing that was most informative to me in the entire movie. She's just so wonderful, because she's a real porn star. She was, you know, she worked in the 70s, and she has two boys, and she lives outside LA now. And John Doe said, my God, can you imagine that? Isn't that horrible? You know, say your wife suddenly started, you know, doing porn, what would you do? And Veronica said, she said, actually, you know what probably happened? Probably the two of you moved to L.A. and you had a small child and you couldn't get a job. And so because you couldn't get a job, then maybe she started modeling and she started doing that. She made some more money and then started working in these movies. And you started, she did really well. And then you didn't like it. And then you know, once she started making all this money, it wasn't so sexy anymore, you know, and she's making the money and she's, you know, trying to take care of the kid and stuff. And that's when you said, you're out of here.
Right.
Paper machine. And it probably by that point, you know, somebody like Amber was pretty entrenched in the world.
Right.
But
that's something else.
But, you know, what Veronica pointed out was that these decisions were economic. Mm-hmm. You know, this is about survival and stuff. And that's, a lot of people don't recognize.
Yes, I agree.
You know, and I thought that
was Charlie made it. I think in, like, you know,
it's like this wasn't about somebody saying, I'm going to have a good time, go do a bunch of porn movies. It's about somebody trying to make a living.
And they built it around an inflated balloon.
One of the things that strikes me is that I was when I saw Final Cuts by myself and then I'm screening them outside. You see all the stuff with Mark leaving home. So sad, and then you have this, you know, kind of smash cut to Bert opening the door, so, and he goes, "Hey, welcome, Eddie Adams from Torrance." Yeah. And you realize how inclusive these people
out every year
are.
With the
and that's, it's true. They kind of take everybody in, no matter what. And that was that. Well, I thought was really make a better about one, film, and then so throw that away. They were so accepting, and it was like, so what?
I brought up here.
Who cares what you've done? It doesn't matter.
It's gone now.
There is that little chunk of dialogue that I did cut.
I love so much. Yeah,
that's the one thing
a water bottle.
The judge says, how old is your son? And John Doe says, unless he's 12. And then Amber says, he'll be 13 next month, which is so sad and so telling, because she's saying, I know who this kid is, and I know when his birthday is, and I know how old he is. Even if I'm not around, I know all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I remember we had a conversation about extras passing, you know?
Yeah, because you were going to have like people passing really close before we shot it. And I said, well, are you sure you want to do that? I'm going to be crying pretty hard. And you said, yeah. And then we shot it, and you went, I know you're going to cry that hard.
Yeah. And when I first assembled the movie, I put the take in where no one did pass.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, I went back to the one where people did pass. And because I just kind of... you know, I moved them forward, actually.
Yeah,
I moved them further away from you and felt like it was, you know, somehow even more tragic, you know?
Yeah, well, the fact is, I mean, people do walk by that kind of stuff all the time. I remember some of the actors said, well, we'll stop. I think, no, people don't, actually. They don't stop. They keep going.
Yeah.
No, I mean, people lie in the street. People keep walking.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It's not like you're going to stop somebody sobbing.
Right.
Hi, Jack Horner here.
And Boogie Nights is your favorite movie?
Boogie Nights is my favorite movie.
And Paul Thomas Anderson is my favorite director I've ever worked with.
Paul Thomas Anderson. Okay. Paul Thomas Anderson is one of my favorite directors. But more than anything, he is my friend. He's my buddy. He's my boy.
That's great.
He just said one time.
But he told me about it. It's a really spooky, exciting.
Okay. Paul Thomas Anderson is one of the best directors.
He's the best director I've ever worked with in my whole crying woman existence.
I thought we weren't supposed to say Latinx.
I don't know what to say.
He was a really nice guy, too. Almost a saintly person.
This scene is just too evil.
Latino, I thought, was outdated. I was reading the paper.
Anytime you see Christmas trees and lights in a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, you know it's like some sad things are about to happen. It's just,
that's good. I'll look for that. Hey,
This makes me really uncomfortable. I still haven't gotten used to it. Like just like on and off.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. Young to understand. They say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. So that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's over. When I'm wiser. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I'm finding myself. We'll be right back. past. So wake me up.